Hello and welcome to today's podcast. This is Access South Korea Now, Ask Now. Jason Cresswell speaking. Today I'm going to be speaking with our partner Brant Kim, and we're going to be discussing something pretty fun. We're going to be talking about nightlife in Korea. So we're going to go through basically all kinds of different options for your nightlife. We're going to talk about the different types of clubs that are available, the different types of bars, the etiquette at these different clubs, and all kinds of things that you can do to pass the night away while you're enjoying your time in Korea. So I hope it's enjoyable for you, and I hope you learn a lot, and I hope you take advantage of it. What I'd like to talk about today is nightlife, which we know that a lot of people, when they come to Korea, they like to enjoy themselves in the evening. And for the most part, a lot of times you'll have jobs that start later in the morning or sometimes in the afternoon. Thus, people have a nightlife even beyond the weekend.
Yeah.
And I would say that Korea offers more than its fair share of options for enjoying the nightlife. So I think it'd be fun to talk about kind of different varieties of what's available and what is expected kind of when you go to different places, because there's a little bit of a different etiquette depending on where you go. Would you agree with that?
I guess each location, there are different options and different things to do.
Mm-hmm.
There is a different etiquette on where you go and also on like the type of places, who you would go with normally.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that makes a difference as well.
Yeah, so a lot of different options and varieties. So probably the best thing to do will be just to kind of go through a bunch of the different kinds, and we'll just talk about each one individually, and then it'll come up, things will come up, you know, who you go with, where they are, what you do, what the costs are. There's some places that are more expensive, some places that are less expensive, and all that kind of stuff. So, let's start with your straight up Hof kind of thing. You want
to
explain?
Hof would be, you could, the original idea of a Hof was they wanted to get like a beer house style place, like in Germany, in Korea. The word Hof itself, some Korean was in Germany, they saw that word and they said this is a good word to use. But Hofs are a place where, you know, most people drink pitcher beers.
Mm-hmm.
And at a Hof you do have to order a side dish, an appetizer. Usually the general consensus is if for every two or three people you should get at least one dish. Koreans like to eat when they drink. A lot of businesses have to sell food in order to make a profit, so certain Hofs won't even allow you to just drink alcohol and order nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, it's a hard thing for foreigners, for Americans, Canadians and whatnot to kind of accept at first.
Exactly.
Because they're more used to just sitting down and drinking without eating anything.
Mm-hmm.
But Koreans like to sit down and they like to eat while they drink. So it's generally at a Hof a requirement to order some food. It doesn't mean that prices are going to be outrageous. It is fairly cheap to drink at a Hof. Like a pitcher of beer will run under $10. A plate of food will run under $10 as well. But it's a nice place to kind of sit and talk with friends. It's fairly quiet at a Hof, music wise. If you go to some bars and stuff, they'll be playing music as loud as possible, but at a Hof it's generally fairly quiet. So it's a nice place to kind of go with a group of friends and just to hang out for a couple hours.
Definitely. And I think probably the most important point which you did stress there is that there is a difference for the Hof is ordering, and I guess the Korean word for it would be anju, mm-hmm. is what you are expected to order. And like you said, it's different coming from the West and going, you know, you're so used to just kind of ordering just drinks and not expecting to order a side dish. But there, like you said, it's expected, and people would be kind of surprised if you didn't order anything. And Koreans, like you said, really do like to have some kind of food mm-hmm. to go with their drinks. And it seems also that a lot of times there's kind of food that matches certain drinks. I haven't been able to figure out the code. I know I've ordered stuff that apparently doesn't match with either if you're drinking beer or soju or whatever you're drinking. There's certain things that are expected to go with them. But I think you can, being a foreigner, have a little bit of leeway and order whatever you want.
Yeah, there is definitely kind of what you eat is based on kind of what you're drinking. Koreans mostly will drink beer or soju, which is a Korean drink. It's kind of like a poor man's vodka, I'd say. And they'll also drink Western hard liquors like whiskey. But most Koreans will drink either soju or beer at a Hof. And it's fairly cheap to drink in Korea. Like a bottle of soju at a Hof will probably run only about $3 or $4. And, you know, you're paying $3 or $4 pretty much for a bottle of hard liquor, which is insanely cheap. But usually when you're drinking soju, the most proper thing to eat would be to have like a soup. Soju has a very strong aftertaste, so they use the soup kind of as a chaser.
Mm-hmm.
For beers, they usually like to eat dried things like peanuts or fried foods such as, you know, French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And for whiskey, the general thing to eat would be like fruit to kind of break down the taste.
Yeah.
But Koreans really don't have like a chaser like most foreigners are used to when they're drinking hard liquors. They'll use food as the chaser instead.
Exactly.
I know for myself, when I drink soju, I always order like a bottle of cola or Sprite or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And most Koreans, you know, always wonder why I do that. And it's just for me, you know, I just prefer it to have a chaser, so.
Yeah, and a touch off topic, but still off topic. When we talk about learning the Korean alphabet mm-hmm. and how it only takes a couple of hours to memorize the sounds and stuff like that, it'll help you a lot in this situation because a lot of Hofs will have their menus only in Korean, mm-hmm. but a lot of the words are even, you know, English words written in Korean. So if you want to make your selection of your side dish or even your drink, then having that few hours of Korean will help you immensely when you go to your mm-hmm. local Hof and you want to order something that makes a little bit of sense to you.
Yeah.
So it'll be a definite application for learning a little bit of Korean. So in comparison to the Hof, mm-hmm. let's talk about, I guess, what would be known as the Western bar.
The Western bar would be kind of the bar that is stereotypically American.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the interior may be a little bit overdone for foreign taste, but it is an American-style bar where there is a sit-down bar, a Hof. There is no bar, physical bar, instead everybody sits down at tables. But at a Western bar, there is a bar where you can sit, and there are also, you know, small tables for you to sit. And Western bars sell mostly cocktails and beer. And beer is normally bottled beer. Almost no Western bars will carry tap beer nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them prefer to carry bottled beer. And Western bars are generally more high-end price-wise compared to a Hof. A bottle of beer will run anywhere from like 5,000 won, which is about $5, to $10, you know, depending on what kind of beer you get. Cocktails run around the same price. Western bars are, the music's a little louder. It's not as much of a group atmosphere than it is, you know, if you go with one or two friends. would be a good place to hang out. But if you're going with like four or five friends, it generally gets pretty costly going to a Western bar.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice a lot of Western bars are kind of a date atmosphere. You'll see kind of like the boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband and wife team going. But the big difference for Western bars in Korea and back home is I think a lot of people see bars as a place to pick up on people.
Right.
Whereas in Korea, you would look like a lunatic trying to pick up on someone at a bar. It is generally not done.
Right. At one of these kinds of bars. Yeah. Once we get into a few other kinds of places, it'll make more sense. But
yeah.
You're right. As what would be considered in Korea, the Western bar.
Mm-hmm. So in Western bar, it really isn't proper etiquette to try to socialize with other people.
Right.
But if you notice, the bartenders will be extremely friendly. They'll be extremely helpful. Most people tend to go to a certain bar because they like the bartender, because the bartender's so nice or whatnot. But they're a nice place to usually hang out for an hour or two in between stops.
Mm-hmm.
Nice place to just stop off for a beer.
And important variants here would be your anju, mm-hmm. which, correct me if I'm wrong, but at a Western bar, you're not really expected to or required to order any kind of side dishes.
Yes, at a Western bar, you're not expected or to order any side dishes at all. They try to mimic a bar back home,
mm-hmm.
Where you won't need to order anything on the side. You can if you want, but it's not really anything that people would say that you should do.
Exactly. Usually you'll end up with a plate of, or not a plate, but a bowl of some type of peanuts or pretzels or some kind of thing like that that they'll give you to munch on. But yeah, you don't have to worry about having to order something. So I guess it's good too if you've just come from eating dinner and you want to go for a drink, it would be a good place to start there too.
The Western bar would be a good place to go for a kind of a light drink.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to get one or two drinks, it's a good place to stop off.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's good for the Western bar. Kind of similar to a Western bar, maybe, mm-hmm. would be, what about a cocktail bar?
A cocktail bar is very similar to a Western bar, but it's usually very, they try to make it very ritzy. The interior decoration will be very stylish. And generally, I've noticed cocktail bars are a little bit bigger than Western bars.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have more staff available for you. And in turn, the price will be a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. You could actually even come across the classic Tom Cruise cocktail-type cocktail shows as well.
Yeah, and you see that a lot in Western bars as well, where they will do a cocktail show. Certain drinks will have a special show put on with it, and you'll always notice, no matter almost whatever bar you go to, you'll see the bartenders sitting there flipping bottles around, just kind of practicing. But I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, that only happened at a certain chain of bars, but nowadays it is very widespread.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay at a bar long enough, you're going to have some stuff to watch there.
Yeah, and it is kind of, there are some kind of good, really good shows.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes if people, if it's their birthday or whatever, they might make a special drink and do a little show for them and that kind of thing. So if you come across that kind of thing, it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Then, how about our classic soju bar?
A soju bar is kind of, it's very similar to a hof, but usually the decoration is a little bit more modern. A hof, hofs like to go with things like wood for decoration, but you'll notice that soju bars are a lot more modern, a lot cleaner in their decoration style. And at soju bars, most people will drink cocktail sojus, which is soju mixed with juices of different kinds. And different cocktail bars will have their own recipe for making their cocktail soju. And it's a good way to get drunk without knowing it. cocktail soju, if you go to a place that makes it very well, It pretty much just tastes like juice,
mm-hmm.
but it is still very potent liquor. For all the teachers in Korea who have drank soju before, I'm sure that they know the dangers of,
yes.
of over-drinking soju. But cocktail bars are similar to Haas in that you are expected and almost required to order a side dish. And it's a nice place to hang out if you are not an avid beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I'm not a very big beer drinker. I like drinking cocktail sojus and hanging out there for a while with my friends. But it's a good place. I think a lot of I've noticed most men won't ever go to a cocktail soju bar as a group. Because it doesn't, I think for Korean men, it doesn't seem very manly to be drinking cocktail sojus. they just prefer to drink plain soju or beer. But you'll see a lot of groups of girls, you know, when just friends going to a soju cocktail bar to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a kind of quiet atmosphere where you sit down and talk and drink and also eat at the same time.
Nice. How about what would be considered a rock bar?
A rock bar would be it's a cross between a Western bar and a club.
Mm-hmm.
A club meaning that a rock bar, there the majority of space will be dance space, and the music will be extremely loud. People go there mainly to dance and not drink. The selection of alcohol will be beers, shots, and very, very simple cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see anything complex there. They try to keep things as simple as possible. And you'll see rock bars. Different rock bars will have different themes of music. You'll see a rock bar that plays hip-hop, or a rock bar that plays techno, or a rock bar that plays rock. And the majority of people will go there because they want to be somewhere loud and they want to dance and drink. It's a cheaper alternative to going to a nightclub, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on. But rock bars are kind of, I think they're the closest feeling to, I think, being back home.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to other places, like, if you think about a Western bar or a cocktail bar, it would be kind of a very upscale bar back home.
Right.
Whereas a rock bar would kind of be more of the, you know, kind of bar that you would go with your friends to hang out,
mm-hmm.
Where it would have a dance floor, where the music would be loud, where the drinks, you know, would be very simple. And rock bars, prices, pretty much everything is about $5 for,
right.
you know, $5 for a beer, $5 for a shot, $5 for a cocktail. Like I said, they try to keep things as simple as possible there.
And that would be more of an environment where if you wanted to meet somebody else, it wouldn't be so unheard of to go up and talk to people, or, you know, you end up having groups of people who are dancing who kind of socialize.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Western bar, it's more of a sit down at your own table. Same with the, you know, the Western bar or the Hof kind of situation is where you're sitting down at your own table and with your own group. But at the, what would be the rock bar would be a little bit more interaction, a little bit more movement,
mm-hmm.
around. And that would be more of a situation where it's possible to meet other people.
Oh, definitely. Rock bars are probably one of the best places to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
People are very friendly at Korean bars, or just in Korea in general. You don't really see drunken fights very often in Korea.
Right.
But if you, you know, want to try to hook up with somebody, rock bars are probably one of the better places to try it.
Mm-hmm. And then very similar to the rock bar would be the next thing would be a hip hop club,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, I would say that would be pretty similar to the rock bar. It would just be more of a focus on the music than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Would you
Yeah, hip hop clubs are actually fairly new in Korea. They are the equivalent of a club back home, either in America or Canada or Europe. A club meaning that there is a cover charge to get in. Usually the cover charge will be anywhere from $10 to $20, and it'll cover one or two drinks. And then once you're in, they'll serve drinks as well. The size is usually larger than a rock bar, by a good amount. And the music will be hip-hop only. So if you're into that atmosphere and if you enjoy that, it's a good place to go hang out. You'll notice hip-hop is very, very trendy in Korea now. So if you go to a hip-hop club, you're going to see a lot of the younger people there compared to the other places. But hip-hop clubs are also... it depends on what area you go through. Some are very foreigner friendly and some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something to keep your mind on. I've noticed that the hip hop crowd in certain areas are not friendly to foreigners coming. Mm-hmm. So it's something to keep your mind on. But hip hop clubs are kind of the trendiest place to hang out nowadays in Korea. I think it's if you notice, like, rock bars are starting to kind of disappear because of hip-hop bars.
Mm-hmm.
There are less rock bars now than there were about 5 or 6 years ago.
All right. Now, something that's almost a whole different world and has its own complicated and intricate design, the classic Korean nightclub.
The Korean nightclub, or also known as the hotel night,
mm-hmm.
is a nightclub where you pay for a table pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and the cost of alcohol at a nightclub is extremely expensive, and there is a minimum of what you can order. Usually, the minimum would be like a bottle of whiskey and a side dish of food. It doesn't sound like it'll come out too much, but a bottle of whiskey will run anywhere from $100 to $200. And this is for a bad bottle of whiskey, like some generic Korean made whiskey. And food will probably be anywhere from $50 to $100. You could be expecting to pay about $100 for a plate full of fruit. But you're not paying for the drinks or the fruit, you're paying for the atmosphere. The atmosphere being that this is where kind of the trendiest people will go to dance. And it is an atmosphere for meeting people of the opposite sex. The whole service of a nightclub is geared toward that. They do something which is called booking, which would mean that a waiter would take a female customer and escort her to a table with male customers. It sounds very barbaric. And when you see it for the first time, you will think, oh my god, what the heck's going on? You're going to see waiters grabbing, you know, these girls by their wrists, dragging them. The girls are going to be kicking and screaming. But the funny thing is that it looks horrible, but it's pretty much all an act. No girl goes to a nightclub thinking that, you know,
she's not going to be meeting any other guys.
Yeah, exactly. She's going there because of this reason. Because Koreans in general are very bad culturally at trying to approach strangers and asking for a date. It is generally unheard of in Korean culture to, you know, walk down the street, see someone you think is attractive, and approach them and ask them for a date. So Koreans build these kind of strange ways to meet people. Hotel nightclubs and booking, the system of, you know, being taken to table to table, is one of these ways. Usually the table minimum for a table full of girls is cheaper than the table full of guys, and the minimum is lower. So a lot of girls go to get free drinks. It sounds really bad, but it is what happens. it's a place that for foreigners, it is really costly. About one night there, if you go with like three or four people, you should expect to spend about $100 each minimum. So you should, you know, have your credit card or some cash prepared beforehand. It's not something that I recommend you go to often because of finances, but it is something that, you know, if you get a chance, you should really check out because it is really interesting, to say the least, just to go.
Yeah. I think for a foreigner going, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of considerations. First, like you said, it is very different, and the first time you see it, it's kind of a little bit, you'll probably be a little bit surprised, mm-hmm. and you're going to wonder what's going on. But like you said, it's important to know what the culture behind mm-hmm. what's going on is. And like you said, there's in Korea, it's all about the introduction. It's all about,
yeah.
I mean, once you kind of start hanging out with Korean friends, you'll notice that it's everybody's kind of trying to hook their friend up with somebody else. And it's, you know, yeah. introduce me to somebody, and that's more than, like you said, going to meet somebody on the street or meet somebody at a bar.
Yeah.
Most couples are formed by soge being introduction,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, it's all about having a friend recommend you to somebody else. So if you don't have that, then the next best alternative is going to the nightclub, and basically the waiter is your friend. So usually
yeah.
you'll have your waiter will be kind of your guy for the night,
mm-hmm.
and kind of his job as your guy is to help you get a girlfriend. It's almost it's pretty much what the general attitude toward it is, right? It's like, okay, now you're going to help me meet somebody who is going to be my, you know, who's going to be my future wife, even possibly. And maybe not future wife, but but anyway,
yeah.
and that's kind of where why it's a lot more expensive. It's not, you're not, like you said, paying for the whiskey or the fruit. It's all about the service.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're going to see when you're in areas where there is a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have guys who are out on the street inviting you
mm-hmm.
to go, and they'll be giving you business cards and kind of walking around, and you'll see, and they'll be likely saying something, you know, night to those are people who are trying to entice you to come to their club. So
mm-hmm.
if you do get enticed, just make sure you know that it's going to be a little bit more expensive than your average place.
Mm-hmm.
And like Brant said, have your credit card ready just in case.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not something that you want to go to all the time because of the cost of it, but it's definitely an interesting experience. And I would say for any female teachers going, to go in expecting to be, you know, kind of invited to meet people and to kind of go from table to table and sit down and have a drink with some people that you don't necessarily know, because that's kind of just the etiquette and what goes on there. And then another thing for foreigners would be actually going. Some clubs will not be excited to have foreigners there if they can't speak Korean,
yeah.
because the whole idea is to be able to, you know, have a conversation with somebody, and if you're not able to do that, it could be a little bit uncomfortable. But if you go with some Korean friends, or if you have enough Korean ability to be able to get yourself to get by, then you're usually more than welcome. But yeah, probably the best bet, especially at first, would be to bring a Korean friend with you.
Yeah. Nightclubs are definitely an interesting place to check out.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to a nightclub in about like 8 years, so
well.
I don't know, it might be a little bit different now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a different experience, something that would be fun for everybody to check out at least once.
Yeah.
So I think that's good for the nightclub. Maybe now we can talk about the different bangs. There's all kind of bangs in Korea, which is Korean for room.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go through a few of them. Start with the norebang.
Okay. Nore means singing or song, and norebang is just a singing room. It's a karaoke room. And the biggest difference between karaoke in Korea and compared to Japan or America or wherever else is that you have your own private room. You're not expected to stand up in front of strangers and sing. A norebang in Korea, you'll have your own private room, which you get with, you know, whatever group you go with. You'll have a machine there with TVs and speakers and the karaoke machine. They'll have folders on the table with a selection of songs. The selection of English songs has improved drastically in the past few years. So before, I know when I used to go a lot, the only thing you could really find would be like Elvis Presley, Frank
the
Sinatra,
Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles, really just old stuff. But nowadays it's a lot more up to date on songs. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing about going to norebang is you're not expected to sing well, but you are expected to sing. Mostly Koreans will go after drinking. So, you know, it's a good idea to get kind of drunk before going for your first time. It's a great place to relieve stress. It's a great place to kind of let out, you know, whatever pent-up frustrations you might have about work or about whatnot. And it's the most enjoyable thing about going to a norebang is just the atmosphere of being in a group wanting to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're not hindered by anything around you, and you'll see, you know, you'll start, if you go with Koreans, you'll see people banging on tambourines, jumping on the sofa, and whatnot. But it is kind of a fun place to go. I know some foreigners who love going singing, and I also know foreigners who hate it, but it really is on how you perceive it. It's a very simple premise. And if you, you know, want to enjoy yourself there, you can definitely have a good time when you go.
Yeah, it's a really fun time because, like you said, most of the time it's kind of one of the last places that people go.
Uh-huh.
Thus, they've already had a few drinks. Thus, they're a little bit more open and a little bit, more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, it can get pretty crazy in there.
Yeah.
You got your own little group there and everybody's dancing and singing and banging on the tambourines, and it's a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were kind of shy about singing, which the big difference between most Western cultures and Korean cultures, in Korea singing is, I mean, everybody pretty much sings and not too many people are shy about singing.
Yeah.
Even your students, a lot of times, you know, you could just ask students to sing something and they actually would.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back in the West, you know, it's a big thing for people to be shy about singing.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time you really see anybody singing is anybody who's actually, you know, in a band or
yeah,
quite comfortable with singing. Whereas here in Korea, you have a lot more of an open attitude towards singing, and everybody's kind of comfortable with it, regardless of whether they do it well or not.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really fun. So if you can let yourself kind of get into that and realize that you don't have to be a great singer, and you can just go with the flow,
yeah,
then you'll have a good time. The same with me. When I first came here, I wasn't really comfortable with singing in front of people, and it made me nervous. And then now I love the norebang. I mean, you know, I'd vote to go there all the time, no problem. And nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to judge your poor singing.
Yeah.
It's just a really good time. And it's not that expensive either.
Yeah, it'll be about $15 to $25 per hour, depending on the size of the room and the norebang you go to. But generally an hour will turn into about 2 hours because the norebang will just constantly keep on giving you more time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want it or not. I've had situations where I've gone with a group of people and we actually want to leave, but they keep on giving us time. So,
which would be called, they call it service.
Yeah,
pretty much anything in Korea that they give you for free is called service.
And but norebang is a good place to hang out. And you can get some drinks there at some norebang. You can get beers. I know a lot of times when I go, we sneak in other alcohol. but it is a kind of fun place to go when you're drunk. If you want to sound good singing, I really recommend you learn Korean. I've noticed when singing American Korean songs generally are much, much easier to sing than English songs. I think that just has to do with kind of the Korean music industry tries to make songs that can be sung by the general public, whereas the American music industry, you know, you have to be a really talented and gifted person to be able to sing those songs. I don't know. Jason, do you sing Korean songs?
I've got a few in my repertoire, and I must say that if you can kind of find one or two songs that you know, and then you're able to read it, you'll be a local hero.
Yeah.
If you punch in a Korean song and go for it, no matter how badly you butcher it. If you're a foreigner, if you're a foreigner and you're singing a Korean song, you're going to be the most popular person of the night for sure.
If you go to Norebang, you'll notice that there are two types of music that Koreans like. They like the really sappy love songs, or they like just very, very pop music, very just kind of upbeat, happy music. But it's definitely something that you should check out with some Korean friends whenever you get a chance.
For sure. So another bang, the video or DVD bang.
Yes, the video or DVD bang. A good description would be kind of a very, very small room with a very, very high-end home theater system. What these are is it's a small room with kind of a sofa or sometimes even kind of a, what would you call it, like a long...
Between a sofa and a bed.
Yeah, between a sofa and a bed where you can actually go put your feet up.
Lounge chair.
Yeah, a lounge chair. And watch a video. You go in, the initial entrance, you'll see walls filled with movies. You select whatever movie you want to see, hand it to the cashier. That's about 10,000 to 15,000 won. And he'll tell you what room to go to. You go in there, you lie down, and you watch a movie. This is the Korean equivalent of a drive-in theater. meaning that if you are out on a date and, you know, you want somewhere kind of private to be with your date, the video bang is a good place to go. Video bangs are also popular just to blow off a couple hours here and there.
Right.
And even for a lot of foreign teachers, if you notice, you're not going to get the best TV in the world in your place. So if you do want to go and watch a video on kind of quality system, video bang is a good place to go. They use a projector TV, and they usually have surround sound. So you kind of do get a movie theater type experience when you go, sound and video wise, which you probably won't be able to do at home.
And another good thing for foreigners is, depending on what you have at home, but if you want to watch a Korean movie with English subtitles, most of the Korean DVDs will have the option for English subtitles. So if when the movies come out at the movie theater, you won't get as much enjoyment out of them because there's no English subtitles. But if you wanted to watch kind of a popular Korean movie and actually understand it, then you just go to the DVD bang and pick a Korean DVD and have them put on the English subtitles for you. So, you know, if you're going with Korean people, then that helps. Or if you just want to check out a Korean movie and understand it, then you can do it that way. And like you said, it's a good place to kind of, you know, even if you go on a trip somewhere and you're about to take a bus back home, but you have 2 hours to kill, usually you'll be able to find a video bang or a DVD bang in or around the bus station, so you can just go watch a movie and be in a kind of a real comfortable environment for that time before you go catch your bus or before you do whatever. Or, you know, on a, just whatever, if you're out on a date or if you're out with a couple of friends. I think usually you can have at least up to four people, and they have like the four people room. I don't know if I've ever had anything more than a four person room, but definitely, you know, if you're two people going on a double date, you can go do that too.
Video bangs are also they're open 24 hours usually. So I know sometimes when I've been on a trip and you know I've been out maybe till like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I don't want to get a room, but I have to catch a bus in the morning, a videobong is a good option to go and just kill a couple hours. You can even go and just sleep for a couple hours while the video is playing. And it's a nice place to go either in summer or winter because of climate control. During the summer, the air conditioner is really nice there. During the winter, it's nice and warm. Mm-hmm. So those are things to think about as well.
But right.
I think the main reason why people go to videobongs is for a date, though.
Mm-hmm.
Most Koreans, when they're single, they do live with their family still. So they don't have privacy.
Right.
And videobong is something that offers some sort of privacy to them.
Mm-hmm. How about the board game bong?
The board game bong is something that's fairly new in Korea. And it's it's a store that is full of board games.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and you order a drink, usually coffee or tea or juice, and you pick a game. They usually have it in kind of a binder, a list of games, divided into categories, and then someone will come over and teach you how to play the game. And a lot of times they'll recommend certain games to you. And it's a good place to go with a group of people who, when you don't want a drink, and when you just want a kind of quiet atmosphere just to hang out, and you know, you play a game. And it's a nice, relaxing place to go. And the cost is only for your drinks, so you're not really paying anything extra for game-wise. The games are there just to, you know, help you pass the time while you're there.
And they do have a good selection of games that people would be familiar with from back home. It's not, you know, that you're going in there and you're going to see a bunch of Korean games that you wouldn't understand how to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're the board games that you would expect to see back home, and a lot more than you you even remember that existed.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a good place. I'm thinking that they're not as common, but I have come across a few board game bongs where they actually do serve alcohol.
No.
More common is the ones that they don't, but there are some that that do as well.
And I've noticed board game bongs, it's going to be hard to actually find a Korean board game at a board game bong. I would say about over 90% of the games are from other countries, mostly mm-hmm. from the U.S. And so, you know, I know I've gone there, I've played like Monopoly and Life and Risk. And they have, you know, some kind of obscure games that you probably never heard of, but usually it's a pretty good experience when you go with a couple of friends to go and just play a board game. It's very refreshing, especially if you're in Korea for a while. You're going to realize that Korea is very kind of technology biased, where they really like high tech things. But going to a board game bong is kind of a step backward, but it's a nice, simple, refreshing place to go.
Mm-hmm. And that concludes the first half of our podcast on nightlife. There is a lot more to be said, and we are going to say it in the second half, so be sure to go ahead and listen to that now.